I just sense that God is saying, Jesus is saying to us that He loves us. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us. Jesus loves us. As we sing to Him, we love you. He's singing to us that He loves us. That we are accepted and loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, by our Father in heaven, that He loves us, that God loves us. He's well pleased with us. Is there anyone with a word or a picture that they believe is from the Lord?
As we were just singing, His waves crash over us. I just saw this beach, and on this beach is all our pain and all our hurts and all our sin and all our failures and our rejections and every anna in our lives. And then the waves of God come, and as they crash over the beach, they just wash everything away. And then there's a clean beach left again, and it's washed into the deepest sea. So just see God just washing everything away, just into His ocean of love.
If your heart has been broken many times, and maybe you are struggling and you will not admit it to anyone, but with intense rejection because of people who walked away from you, who've hurt you in the past, that I just want to, as every eye is closed, just put your heart on your heart and put your other hand out and just say, Lord Jesus, heal my heart. And God is faithful and He's good, and He will heal the brokenhearted, because He died on the cross that we can be whole, that we can love unconditionally because we've been made whole by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago. And God, I just pray for every person here in this place, Lord. God, we just all come to You and we just declare that we love You, Lord Jesus. We are so thankful for what You've done for us on the cross, Lord. We are thankful that You gave us life. We are thankful that we can know this everlasting life with You. We are thankful for having family, Lord. We are thankful for having a place to stay, for having food to eat. God, for having children going to schools. Lord, so many things that we are thankful that You have given to us, that You have blessed us with, Lord. We are thankful that we can know we serve a good God who is a Father, who loves, who changes lives. And I want to thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ that came to bring the ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile us, Your children, through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Father. And that place is that happy place, because we know Jesus. And He speaks to us because He's the good shepherd, and we follow Him because we know where He leads. There is safety, there's goodness, there's protection, there's love, there's peace, there's joy. There is Jesus. And we just thank You, Holy Spirit, for being here this morning. Thank You for Your presence that's tangible in this place, Lord. Thank You that You've come to help us, to remind us, to minister to us, to give us love, to give us power, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. We just want to exalt You in this place. And I just want to say thank You, Lord. Let us clap to the Lord to say thank You for what He's done in our lives. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank You. You may be seated. Thank You for being here this morning. If you can still make it afterwards, we have an AGM. So if you... It will be great to share with you what is happening in our church globally and also here in Somerset West. There's many new visitors and we welcome you specifically. It's really great to see all the new faces. And the rule for new people is to sit in front. But don't feel any pressure. I've been wanting to preach on Noah. And with the movie Noah, I still wanted to go and watch it. I saw a lot of reviews around it. There's a lot of things that is upsetting about this movie Noah that was just released. There's a new movie about Moses. And one of my pastor's wives got up and she started speaking the gospel to all these people in the movies because she was so upset because they betrayed God as very evil. And I want to ask you just this question. Why do you think Hollywood is bringing out movies that brings God in a bad light? And they specifically focus on Noah and now Moses. Because, you know, when you look at the lives of these ancient characters, there's so much that talks about who God is. And God's plan of redemption has been there all along. That God has come because he wants people to be with him. And that God is not evil. That Noah wasn't evil. He didn't try to kill his own unborn baby. He was righteous in every way. He was good in every way. And the more I'm looking at where we are in society, you know, just Parliament, where Julius Malema and the EFF is doing all those things, you get upset. You think, what the heck is going on? And you hear about people wanting to pray, but most of us watch the news and we give a blind eye to it. What is this world going to? You know, what is becoming of this? And with Eskom and all the power cuts, I've heard that the special forces are on standby because they expect that if the power must go off for 2 or 3 days, that there can be chaos in the country. And for us, we just continue living. We carry on with life because we have good lives. We live good lives. And life goes on. And the more I'm seeing some of these things, I'm thinking, yes, is this not the end times? Is this not when Jesus is going to come or the tribulation? Or is there going to be a rapture? Probably not. I don't think it's going to be. Not the way I see it, but it could be. We don't know. We will only know as we go up. I hope I'm part of it, if it is, before. But, you know, then I don't know if you've heard of John Hagee's 4 Blood Moons. Anyone heard about that? But that was based on another man, Mark Blitz. He's a pastor, Messianic Jew. And because he comes from a Jewish background, he knows the festivals, the Jewish feasts, Passover. And Pascha is different. Easter and Passover is different to one another. It's different calendars that they are referring to. And he saw in 2014 that on Passover, there's going to be a blood moon. And a blood moon means the earth, the sun, and the moon align in a certain way that the moon appears to be blood, red. So they call it a blood moon. So he's like, wow, this is interesting. I wonder where the next one is going to be. He looks at NASA's website and he sees it's going to be on Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles. We know that Jesus got crucified on Passover. Many people believe all the feasts fulfilled prophecies to the T, to the day. Even when he was crucified, he got crucified at certain times when the slaughter of the animals had to go through. Now, many people believe that Jesus will come back on Tabernacles, that he was probably born on the Feast of Tabernacles in that time, which is in October, give or take a month or so. So he says, oh, it's going to happen again. And then he saw next year, 2015, it will happen again. There will be a blood moon on Easter and Tabernacles. So, oh, that's interesting, because he loves astronomy. The stars, not the other stars. So he goes on the website, when did it happen? Before 1967, four blood moons in 2 years. This was when the Six-Day War happened. Israel got attacked by Syria, Egypt, and a few other Middle Eastern countries, and Israel occupied Jerusalem the first time in 2,000 years, a major event in world history. And he's like, wow, this is interesting. When did it happen before? 1948, when Israel became a state in one day. Before that, no Jews lived in Israel. Many people thought when they were prophesying about Israel, it was talking about the church because there was no state of Israel before 1948. He says, no, I've got my attention is caught. When did it happen before? 1492, when it was the Spanish Inquisition, and a lot of Jews got executed before that. So now he goes, yo, something is happening. Last year, with Passover, ISIS attacked Israel with the missiles going in. Next year, of this year, with Tabernacles, the blood moon will not only be a red moon, it will also be a super moon, which means it will be very close to the earth and it will be visible in Jerusalem. So he says, we could expect something. He says in Genesis 1 verse 14, when God created the heavens and earth, he said sun and the moon, and that will determine seasons, days, and years. But that seasons can also be interpreted as pre-appointed times or feasts. So now he's got my attention. I'm thinking, sure, what is going to happen? But the thing is, we don't know. When you look at Matthew 24, it says there will be wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes. People will be delivered to tribulation and put to death. Which says to me, I don't think there's going to be this massive rapture. I think many people are going to go through terrible tribulation, like in the Middle East at the moment, where Christians are being beheaded by ISIS, for example. They said that false prophets will lead many astray. They will use signs and wonders. There will be lawlessness. Many will grow cold. But we must endure to the end. That was what Jesus says. And then he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark and they were unaware, until the flood came and swept them away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man, as in the days of Noah. Genesis 6. So I went to Genesis 6 just to go and read Genesis 6. I want to just take you just a little bit through Genesis 6 to see what was it like in Genesis 6 compared to all we do. Do we believe it is where we are now? Because people are eating and drinking. We're having parties. We're having marriages. We see great things happening. There's a confusion. I feel like a confusion in the air. I don't know if anyone else can identify with me. If you just look at the United States, it sounds like the economy can go down. There's many strange things that is happening. And you just go like, Lord, is this the time? But if you go to Genesis 1, it says that man began to multiply. And Carl, as jy net so bietjie, so ek gaan, as ek nie die skrif sê nie, moet jy maar net so saam met my volg, hoor. Man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and they took daughters were born to them. So there was people, children were being born, many daughters are being born in our church at the moment as well. We have many little girls in this church at the moment. And the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives, and then they chose. The sons of God here is the sons of Elohim, that's mostly translated as angels. So they were like these angel beings, and many interpreters or commentaries say it could be three different explanations for this. The one could be it was this line of Seth, of Shem. The other one says that it could be like the good people, and then there's people who say this could have been angels that came down and they knew the wives. They had intercourse with these wives. I believe it could be angels. For then God said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years from now. And I always thought is man will not grow older than 120 years. And it could mean that. But Noah still turned 950, literally. His age was 950. His son's was 600, and then that son's was 400, and the one after that was 400. Then Terah was 200 years old. Abram was 175 years old. Many guys got much older than 120. So I believe God said here, in 120 years from now, I'm going to bring judgment to this earth, because people really became very evil in that time. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came to the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. The mighty men also is translated as giants. When you look at mythology, Greek mythology, Roman mythology, they talk about Hercules. He was half man, and his father was a god. Where did they get that from? Isn't it maybe because it was the truth? This is where it came from, that there was this supernatural occurrence where angels came and people became so dark and evil. I was speaking to someone, and you know, when I look at people, people who live without the Lord become very dark over time. Imagine how dark you would get if you don't know the Lord after 400 years and you look like a 30-year-old. Imagine that. You would know all the songs, all the pickup lines. You can teach yourself to play every instrument there is to play. Anything as a man to try and get a woman, to seduce a woman, you could do. You don't have to be that even good looking. You can train every day. You can have the best muscles after 400 years if you are going to become 1,000 years old. So I believe what happened here was these people really started becoming very evil. Noah was born 1,050 years after Adam was born. So in that time, many people were born to this earth. They were perfect because God created them, and he said this was very good. So brothers and sisters could marry one another because the gene pool was perfect. So it was fine that brothers and sisters could have children. And this is where Cain's wife probably came from. It was family, very close family. And it's only later on that God said, you cannot do that, because after the flood, only 8 people stayed. So the gene pool suddenly got very, very small. And that's why he said we shouldn't have brothers and sisters. We didn't evolve. I really believe with all my heart we didn't evolve. And just a story that I normally tell in Bible school, and if you want to know more about this, too, Bible school, we have a module called creationism. But this young boy comes to his dad and he says, "Dad, where do we come from?" And he says, "No, we evolved over millions and millions of years from apes." And he goes to his mom and he says, "Mom, where do we come from?" She says, "No, God created Adam and Eve, and we come from that." But she says, "But Dad said we evolved over millions of years from apes." She says, "No, that's true. He's talking about his side of the family, and I'm talking about my side of the family." So we have to look differently at the world view will determine how we see the Bible as well. If you believe in millions of years, you're going to look at the Bible and say 6 days was probably 6 periods of millions and millions of years. But it cannot be, because in the third day, there's one person. God created plants and grass. Only the next day, he created light. So over millions of years, grass could not grow if God created light only after a million years after that. You know what I'm saying? So when you look at Scripture and you start taking it literally, your worldview must change. Because there could not have been death before Eve sinned. Because the result of her sin is death. So if people evolved, things must have died up to that time. So it makes the gospel void if you're speaking about millions of years. So as believers, I want to challenge you, go to answers in Genesis, because most of you probably go, "No, this is weird. This is not the truth." But I want to challenge you. Go and pray about this. Go and see what God is saying. I believe God created the earth 4,000 before Christ, more or less. Some people say 4,004 in October. He's got a very good, this man lived in 1700s, and he's got a very good reason why he can tell you that. But it challenges you to think differently and not to listen to what people are saying, because everyone will say to you, no, it's evolution. We all were created in through evolution. But if it was evolution, show me the stage between the ape and man. Because there aren't any stages between the two. They will say to you, yes, we have found fossils. Even fossils, when a fish dies, it doesn't go to the ground. It goes up to the surface and then it gets destroyed there. So why do we have so many fossils? I believe when the waters came, it just destroyed, and mud came, and the mud took fish like this, and it buried it in mud. And there was layers of mud, and that's why we have perfect fossils. I saw a picture once of a fossil that was giving birth. How did it happen? Not 9 months. It was like an instant moment where that has happened. So going back to Genesis, you start looking differently. Is it maybe true that there were sons of God that came down to this earth? 2 Peter 2 verse 4 and 5 says, "For if God did not spare angels until they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to the chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with 7 others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly." So here he talks about there was angels, they sinned, they got cast into hell. It speaks about God did not spare the ancient world. He speaks about Noah, and there was redemption. And Noah was a herald. He was a messenger. He was an announcer. He was a bearer of good news. He was a preacher. I believe he was a good man that preached the word of God in amidst lots of darkness around him. And he spoke about God and who God was. And he got spared. He was righteous. I'll get to that now. Him and his whole family got spared because God is good. Genesis 6 verse 5 says, "But the Lord saw the wickedness of man, and it was great in the earth, and that man had every intention of the thoughts of his heart that was only evil, and it was evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he made man. It grieved him to his heart, and he said, I'm going to blot them out." And you know, when Trevor and Sharon were speaking to the little kids, this whole school was full of kids doing the monkey. And Bainan said to me afterwards, normally you get people and they bring them up and they leave them there. Then they must teachers have to sit with these hyped up children. But they, apparently he brought them down nicely as well. But what he did with those kids was he does a little trick that shows them that sin will not get you. But then eventually it will bind you. And you know, when our hearts, maybe you're not like that, but I'm like that. I've got this evil side in me, and then I've got this good side in me. And this evil and good side is always contradicting one another. And you sometimes have these thoughts, and you feel, yes, I'm such an evil person. But the more I'm start focusing on that side, it's almost the darker I become. But then there comes a time when I go, oh, I repent, and I come before God again. And then it's almost like wiped clean. But then if I don't watch out, then that darkness starts again, and I'm going all dark again, and I want to get angry and do bad things, and then I do something terrible, and I feel, oh, I'm terrible. Then I go back to God again, and he wipes it clean again, and then I can feel great for a while, and then that cycle starts. But these people, their intention and thoughts of their hearts were evil continually. So they came to a place where it's evil. There was no moral guidance of God bringing them back again, saying, God, forgive me. They just, and I believe now they were getting very old, and they became very evil because there was no judgment. There was no fear of what happens after this. Where am I going to after this? There was no fear of eternity. Verse 8 says, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. He had 3 sons, Sem, Ham, and Japheth. He was righteous. He found favor in the eyes of God." The amazing news that I want to give you this morning, we are not righteous because we do good things. We are righteous because we believe in Jesus Christ. Because of faith, we are righteous. When you become born again, God declares us sinless. He says you are sinless. Yes, there might be sin in you, but there's a nice word for it called justification. It's a process of making us new before God. So you have sin and you feel condemned and bad, but when you give your heart to the Lord, you become born again, you are righteous before God. And God says you are blameless in this generation because I believe in Jesus Christ. Because I've given my heart to Him, because I believe in Him, I surrender to Him. And our salvation is worked out with fear and trembling. It's a process. But we can know that when I stand before God, I can be confident. I can be confident because I'm righteous in the eyes of God because of what His Son has done on the cross. We are saved by grace through faith. Not because of good works that we can boast, but on account of it, that we can know when we surrender to God and we open our hearts to God, the Spirit of God comes in us and it changes our lives. We are never the same again. And there's a light that is upon us that you might not see, but that evil and darkness will see it. And what they want to do is they want to distract you that you can come to that place of darkness again. But God's heart is to bless us, to prosper us, to have good things in our lives, that we can walk righteous before Him. And the more we stand, and Noah was, it says that he walked with God. The more we walk with God, the more our desire for the things of God becomes, the bigger it becomes. The more we read the Bible and we pray, the more we worship, the more we raise our hands and say, Lord, I surrender, the less that desire to in you will be. John Piper, I saw a little clip of his that he says that sexual lust is not a demon. It's a choice. He says if someone stands next to you with a gun and says, go on pornography, if you go on pornography, I will kill you. You will not go there. It's like, I don't want to die like that. It's a choice. It's a choice. And there's a choice that we can make. But when we go to Christ, He's done the price for us. And we feel, I cannot overcome it, but it's overcome already on the cross. We can just turn to Jesus. We don't have to struggle and sweat and work through all these things. We can just turn to Jesus. We can start walking with God. We can start walking with Jesus because He wants to change who we are. Now Genesis 6:11 says, the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. So sin will corrupt us. It will bind us to slavery. You know, when I look at the news, it's upsetting. Boko Ram, I'm not sure if I pronounce his name right, in Nigeria, he has killed more than 5,000 people since 2009 and 2014. The Pistorius and Devani trial, it was upsetting. It's like every time you walk into the gym and you see just this Pistorius trial, it was like, oh, not this again. And there's two beautiful ladies that got killed by people that were supposed to love them. In Iraq, ISIS that killed, beheaded Christians, other people, that mass executions. They are guilty of sexual violence and slavery against women. And people would download like these video clips where they are cutting someone's head off. It's actually, you know, when you and this is just last year in France, where the I Am Charlie or Jesus Charlie with 12 Islam militants walked into that building and shot 12 people. And I don't know if you saw it, where this police lady was sitting there and the guy just walked and he carried on. And the world is looking at this. And what is God saying? This world is filled with violence. It's become wicked. Malaysian Airlines flight MH370 just disappeared. All those people that was on it, the war in Russia, Ukraine, and also Malaysian Airlines MH17 that got shot down, and there was all these people that were HIV AIDS specialists. And I'm thinking to myself, the conspiracy theorist in me say, is it not possible that they had the cure? And they were coming to announce it because there was about 100 or more people that went to this conference, and they got shot down. I'm thinking there's stuff out there that is happening that is upsetting us. The UK flooded last year, and then what really upset me was Jimmy Savile. Maybe some of you might know it. He was a very popular announcer at BBC that was found guilty for pedophilia. I was a pedophile, and then Rolf Harris. And when I was a little boy, we used to watch him. There was a song where he had three legs. I don't know if anyone saw that. Maybe some of the older people. But he was like a household name in the 70s. Everyone knew about this guy. But now, after many years, they found out that he was molesting little children when they were younger, because they were in a position to do this. You hear about Bob Hewitt. There's sexual allegations made against Bill Cosby, Prince Andrew, and you go, what is the world coming to? This is really bad. But Pakistan, 171 people are killed in a school, of which was 132 children. But they just walked in, they shot people to the death. And in Genesis 6, it says the earth was corrupt in God's sight. The earth was filled with violence. I listened to a sermon of David Wilkinson. He wrote the book, The Cross and the Switchblade, and it was still in the days of A-Team. And God convicted him, saying, how can you watch this violence if I had destroyed the earth on account of violence? And I'm like, oh, because I like my Taken movies. I love movies. You know, it's great to watch it. But it's something that there is. It corrupts you. After the first time I saw a Superman movie, I wanted to fly. You know, Spider-Man, I wanted to climb up the walls. You know, there's something, we get inspired by movies. But God, in verse 13, says, God said to Noah, and God will announce to his prophets, he says, I'm going to make an end to all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence. I'm going to destroy them. But Noah, you make yourself an ark. So we think, how can God do this? But then the righteous, there's a way out. And God will always provide a way out. And that's why Jesus died on the cross, the way out. And he says, come and build this ark. Build this ark. Because I'm bringing judgment. Genesis 6:17 says, for behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Judgment has two sides. The one is destruction. The other one is redemption. The difference is righteousness. We are righteous because of faith, not because of what we've done, because we've turned to Christ, because we've been born again. We've given our heart to the Lord. We walk with God. We are righteous. And God gives a way for him because of that. And Hebrews 11 says, just before that, as verse 17 says, I will destroy. Then Genesis 7 verse 1 says, then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You know, there's a time that I believe God is going to come and he's going to destroy this earth. And the Bible says he's going to make a new earth. And we hear these stories and we go, no, it's probably not going to happen. But I believe what Noah's story is telling us, go in now because it's going to happen now. And there was a place of obedience to the Lord that Noah understood, I better be obedient now. Not, I can no bit. En ek wil 3 woorde hê by 5 verskillende mense. He just knew, God speaks to me now. I've got to respond to the word of God. I've got to respond because God is nou 'n bietjie ernstig. He's come to that place. He's going to speak to us now. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever draw near to God must believe that he exists, that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God, concerned the events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. But this he condemned the world, and Noah, he became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. So we have to believe that God is good. We have to believe that. We have to trust in God. We have to put our faith and our hope in God and not in our own strength. That is faith. We have to learn to become dependent on who God is, because anything that we're going to try and do in ourselves will get destroyed. Because that place is where God can save us, because we trust in Him. And He always said, when you stand at there was this man who fell and he was hanging on a tree like this, and he screamed, "Somebody help, somebody help." And this huge angel came with his wings flapping, and he says, "Let go, I will catch you." And he looked and says, "God sent someone else." And there's a time that God says, He speaks, but He wants us to let go, because we want to hold on to this tucky, but eventually we will not be able to hold on anymore. He wants us to release that He can catch us, because in Him is where our safety is. It's in God. It's in faith. It's walk by faith. The righteous will walk by faith and not by sight. The ark, I believe, and you might differ to me, but I believe the ark is the house of the Lord. I believe God has called us to build the ark. I believe when that time will be here, it will be because of relationships, of people coming together. You know, every time you buy something and there's a LOL sticker on it, that money goes to ISIS. That's how they gain money, to pay for beheadings and stuff. We give them the money. We don't know that. But us Christians can stand together. I really believe this is a time where we as believers must really see God in this. I'm not asking you to do anything, but see God in it, that we are planted in the house of God, that there's relationships here. When a brother falls, there's another brother that can pick that brother up, because we know we do it unto the Lord and not unto us. But we build the house of the Lord, that we build the ark in faith, as Noah had done. Then the time will come, and the time is now, where Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." In John 10, verse 9. "The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I came that you can have life and life in abundance." God says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. Jesus laid down his life for us, but he's the door. We have to enter through the door. There's a door. There was a door for the ark. If they stayed outside, said, I believe that the flood will come. I believe. And they stood outside of the ark, they would not have been saved. There was a decision that they had to take to go through the door. And when they entered the door, God himself came and he closed the ark. And then those who were on the outside were on the outside. Those who were on the inside, they were saved. But it was a decision, and God will not force anything on any person. He gives us the choice. And we have to make a choice, because He will never force us to do anything. He just says, come inside. And they went inside. They went inside the flood, or inside the ark. And God said to them, "In 7 days, I will send rain. Go with everything in." They went in, they commanded as they did. Now, something interesting, Methuselah, he lived 969 years or something like that. He died in the year that the flood came. Now, the question is, did he die just before the flood, or did he drown? Just a good question. I believe he probably just died before God waited for him, because he was in that righteous line. We can't say. But the thing is, for me, that faith is demonstrated by our actions. Noah acted on what God had said. Faith without actions, or faith without works, is dead, it says in James. There's a place that we grow in our relationship with the Lord, and we act on what God says to us. That we don't hold on to our own strength, but we act on to what God wants to do through us. In 1 Peter 3, verse 18 to 20 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous. Jesus was righteous in every way. He never sinned, yet he paid the price for all of us, that we don't have to do for it, that we don't have to pay that price, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in the prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, that in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the ark. I really believe God is saying to us that we must build for us and our family, that God's heart is family, that we build an ark so that our family can be saved. And for me, family is not only my wife, my 2 children, my mom and my mother-in-law, but it's you guys as well. And it's those guys out there. They also are family. We're all family. We're all descendants of Noah. All of us. We all come from Noah. And there's a place that I believe God is saying, build this ark, because I want all people to be saved. God says it's good and pleasing that all men must get saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. This is God's heart, that all men must come into his presence, must come with him. This is what God desires as our Father. And the amazing thing about that is when you respond to God and you enter the door, which is Christ Jesus, he says in Genesis 9, God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. That when we enter and we make a choice for God, there's a blessing. There's a blessing. God comes and he blesses. Verse 8 says that, I will establish covenant with you and your offspring after you. God is a covenant-keeping God. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you forever. I will be there. I am God. I'm with you. Because I'm a covenant-keeping God. God will never divorce us. He will never leave us because he's God. And he keeps covenant because that is who God is. And in that covenant, he blesses. And God remains faithful even if we are faithless, because he cannot deny himself. We respond, yes, Lord, I choose you. With all my mistakes, I just go to God. And we will make many mistakes, but God said, you've chosen me. I'll be there with you. I will hunt you down. I will be wherever you are. I will go and fetch you out of darkness. I will bring you in because you've made a choice for me. And I've seen it many times where people made a choice, even when they were children. Like Trevor was like that. He gave his heart to the Lord when he was 7 years old. It was like always God putting someone over their path. Going over their path to bring them back into the kingdom of God. So, can I get for Yanni from Furin to come? Just to play for us a song. I just want to finish off. Maybe you are stirred. I'm stirred. Because we don't know. The fact of the matter is, it can be another 1,000 years. God says one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day in his sight. It's been 6,000 years since he created the heavens and the earth. He says there will be a thousand years of peace. Is it possible that God created in 6 days, and that was a template on how it's going to be for 1,000 years, so that at the end of 6,000 years, he comes, and there will be a year, a Shabbat millennium, that it's the time that when Moses... When this happened, God separated, let there be light, and then he separated land and water. And then Noah came, and there was a flood. About 1,000 years, the temple was built in Jerusalem, the time of David, 1,000 years before Christ. There's many things that you can draw from it. The church age after 4,000, day 4, 5, it's possible it's 6. It could be, it cannot be. We will never know. But the Bible says that he will come like a thief in the night. And those who are awake, they will know. And we are awake because we stand and we walk with God. We are blameless because we walk with the Lord. We stand with God. We seek the Lord. We pray, and there's this place that we have relationship with God. Therefore we know. Not because of the things we do right, but because we walk with the Lord. So I'm just going to ask you just to close your eyes, and I just want to wait on the Lord. I'm just going to ask you to just to wait. And God, Holy Spirit, we just pray, Lord, to just to minister to us now, Lord. If you have not been born again, maybe you've grown up in a Christian home, you've known God your whole life, but you've not been born again. In John 3, Jesus says that if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. He says you'll be born by the water and by spirit. So is everyone who is born by the spirit that you can see. There's a place that you came and you made a choice for God, for Jesus. You accepted Jesus and your life's changed. You know, and you could have been 3 years old or you could have been 30 years old. But there's a time that you know God changed my life. If you don't know that and you're unsure and you feel maybe even condemned now, you feel like, oh, what about me? And there's fear in your heart. There's not peace. And you want to come to Jesus. I just want to ask you to put up your hand that I can pray with you. Is there anyone here that is unsure that if that final time has come now, that you might not be in the ark? Is there anyone like that? If you're unsure. And then there's tremendous confusion in the air. I don't know if you experience it as well, but there's fear. There's what's going to happen. There's anxiousness. There's a heaviness. It's almost like some people will say spiritual attacks, but you just know things are going wrong in your life. And you're not experiencing peace. You're anxious. You don't sleep well. You are worried, but you don't even know why you're worried. Maybe you do know why you're worried, but you're anxious. And I believe Jesus is saying that you must come to Him this morning. You labor and are heavy laden because He wants to give you rest. He will take His yoke and He will take your yoke from you and He will give His yoke because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. I believe there are many people here who are struggling. You are struggling to walk in faith. You are struggling to have the joy of the Lord, to have peace, to have that patience. The world is so driving us. It's the rat race, and we're afraid for our children, we're afraid for our jobs, we are afraid of what's going to be in the future. And I want to give you the opportunity to just respond. If you want to respond to the Lord, we want to give you the opportunity that we can just pray with you. So I'm just going to ask Yana if you can just do a last song, and if you can stand up, and if you need prayer, we really want to pray with you. We just want to pray that God's Spirit will come upon you and just strengthen you. There's nothing better than returning to Jesus and know God released a word in your life because He loves us. God's heart is for us. It wants to bless us. He died on the cross. He loved this world so much that He died on the cross that we can have life and everlasting life. That is the heart of God, to bring people into His presence and not for us to be alone, to be lonely, to feel rejected, to feel anxious, but for us to have confidence in the fact that we know the Lord Jesus Christ, that we know He says to us, be bold and courageous, do not fear nor be dismayed, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, watch, I'll be with you until the end of the age. Even if we cannot make it, He will give us the strength to overcome. Even if we are weak, He is strong. He will walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. He says we must not be fear. We must not fear because He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High and abide in the shadow of the Almighty, He will be our refuge, our fortress. He will be the God in whom we can trust because He will be with us. We'll never lack anything. God has shown it all along that He will give to those who do not have. But we must walk in faith. We must believe in the name of Jesus.